Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. This was a weekend in which a lot of people were out in public for the first time in a very long time. They included Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Whitmer was seen at Lansing's Landshark Bar and Grill hanging out with friends. There was just one problem, though. It was an awfully big group of friends. Governor Whitmer may have once again violated her own health agency's guidance. With us to talk about this and other state stories are Lauren Gibbons, policy and politics reporter at MLive. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Also with us today, Sergio Martinez Beltran. He's the Capitol reporter at Bridge, Michigan. Hi, Sergio. How you doing?
Hi, April. Thanks for having me.
So, Sergio, what do we know about the governor's big night out?
Well, I think it's important to go back to the reason why we're here, and that is because yesterday, the conservative news outlet Breitbart obtained a photo that showed Governor Whitmer at a local restaurant slash bar with 13 people at the table, including, by the way, Trisha Foster, who is the state's chief economic officer. And, you know, this is big because it seems like it's in violation of Governor Whitmer's MDHHS's policy. You know, on May 15th, the Department of Health and Human Services issued new policies and guidances on how many people can be seated at a table in a restaurant. And that rule says it's only six people per table and that no groups or of patrons can, you know, should be intermingling. And it seemed like in this case, the governor didn't follow that rule.
So as far as that state guidance, it's just so happens that today Governor Whitmer announced that that guidance was to be expanded. But just to be clear, it's okay today, but it wasn't okay when she was photographed doing this over the weekend, right?
I think it's not even okay today. I think it's okay on June 1st when the state will expand the capacity limit. So right now, that rule is still in effect and people need to only, and restaurants should only have six people per table.
Right. Sergio, what did the governor have to say today when she was having a press conference ostensibly about other matters? What does she have to say about the fact that she was dining inside maskless with such a big group?
You know, the governor apologized. She talked about how throughout the pandemic, she's been committed to following public health protocols. But she talked about how on Saturday, she was at this local restaurant with some friends, and that as more people arrived, the tables were pushed together. But at the end of the day, she said that, you know, everyone was vaccinated, that she didn't stop to think about it, but that in retrospect, it was a mistake and that she's a human and that she apologizes for it.
So if this were the only instance of an apparent double standard, I think that people might not be quite so exercised about it. But let us remember there have been some other instances when Governor Whitmer or her top staff have been out doing things that the governor's own health officials at a point when they were saying stay home. Sergio, can you remind us of what's been happening over the past couple months?
Right. I think the last 5 weeks, April, have been really tough on the governor because she has had to respond to a lot of controversies about herself or members of her staff violating state guidance. So, for example, you know, recently, Mirror's News reported on Governor Whitmer's travel to Florida to visit her father. That was in March 12th to the 15th. Initially, her administration didn't disclose the travel, but then they said that it was two full days, and now we know the trip was 4 days. So the version has changed quite a bit. The big thing is was the governor was not vaccinated when she went to travel to Florida. And, you know, the other big thing is that her administration was asking people to avoid traveling to the southern state because of the third wave of COVID-19. The other thing is that Trisha Foster, the woman that I talked about, who is the state's chief operating officer, she last month posted photos on social media of herself visiting Florida, despite Whitmer's warning against traveling. So the last 5 weeks, the governor has had to defend a lot of her staff and also her actions.
So let's talk about what this might mean for the upcoming gubernatorial race. Lauren Gibbons, do you think that this could open Gretchen Whitmer's flank any further to a post-Trump Michigan Republican Party?
You know, I think that a lot remains to be seen in terms of whether or not this has a long-term impact on the governor's reputation. I do think that right now, as people are still living under the restrictions, there's a lot of frustration. There's a reason that these sorts of stories are gaining so much traction. There's just a lot of people who are ready to be you know, out and about again and seeing some of these restrictions lift. That said, it's a long time until 2022. We have a lot of names being circulated. There's still a chance that bigger names could get into a Republican primary race. So whether or not these frustrations over COVID-19 restrictions and some of the governor's actions that have already been referenced, you know, whether or not that sticks around in voters' minds as they start to think about whether they want to see her run the state for another 4 years, a lot could happen between now and that election.
Sergio, what's your take on this? Does the criticism hit any softer when it may be coming from opponents who have themselves been skeptical of health guidance through the course of the pandemic?
I think that's a great question. And what Republicans and many conservatives have said is that they were not the ones asking people to stay at home. They were not the ones asking people to avoid traveling. It was the governor. I do think, though, that Republicans are capitalizing on this incident. I mean, they're capitalizing on the governor's violation of the restaurant rules, but also they have been capitalizing on the traveling. You know, House Oversight Committee Chairman Steve Johnson asked Governor Lee, House Oversight Committee Chairman Steve Johnson, he sent Governor Gretchen Whitmer 43 questions regarding her trip, or he said his committee could launch an investigation. So I think for the next few weeks, we're going to continue seeing Republicans capitalizing on this.
Hey, let's talk about something else that was a pretty big news in Lansing late last week. Lauren, I know you've been following it. Michigan's receiving a historic surplus in the form of federal COVID relief funds. And I have to say this again, just because the number is so staggering, nearly $11 billion. That cash was locked up in a pretty rigid stalemate between the governor and legislative Republicans. What's going on with this money right now?
Yeah, you know, it seems as though there's some indication that the ongoing icy relations between the Republican-led legislature and Governor Gretchen Whitmer appears to have thawed somewhat. And that is largely because Republicans like what they're seeing in terms of some of these COVID-19 restrictions being lifted. At this point, they've announced that they are willing to, you know, have the governor's administration back into budget negotiations, whereas for the last several months, they've been kind of talking at each other as opposed to working together to try and find bipartisan ways to craft next year's budget and also figure out what to do with all of this extra money, both from the federal government and there's a projected surplus from state tax revenues. So moving forward, again, they've agreed to work together. We haven't seen what plans they've come up with or if they have any ideas on what a bipartisan way to get this money allocated might look like. So it could be a little bit before we see something get signed into law.
Lauren, do we know what changed? I mean, this was a really knockdown, drag-out dispute. Now the governor's saying she's willing to formalize the legislature's role in epidemic orders as part of this deal. What gave?
You know, I think a big part of that is honestly perhaps their thinking that there may not be that many pandemic orders left. The numbers are looking a lot better than they have. The vaccines are working. And while there is still some trepidation about whether or not Michigan can continue to keep the pace of vaccinations among those vaccine hesitant populations, overall, the numbers are looking a lot better than they have in a long time. And the trajectory is looking better for the state. So I think the administration is thinking, well, there's probably not going to be that many left. And then the legislature is thinking some of these restrictions that they have been opposing are now being lifted. So now at this point, you know, some of the arguments they've been making for holding up all of this additional money that's available to Michigan don't hold as much weight.
So I see that Detroit is planning a task force to decide how to allocate its share of the funds. There's going to be a lot of choices to make at cities all over. And then there's this money that the state can have discretion over itself. Last question, you guys. We have about a minute. What do you think? Are the damn roads finally going to get fixed? Sergio, you go first.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, we'll see. They are going to start fighting over what projects should be funded. So it's going to be an interesting moment to watch.
Lauren, how about you? What do you think some of the big priorities will be for this?
I would say roads are definitely in the conversation, although if you remember back in 2019, that was a pretty thorny topic that was very difficult for people to agree upon in a non-pandemic time. But this is a huge opportunity for one-time investments. And I assume that lawmakers, the administration, and budget officials are just looking at ways like, how can Michigan leverage this, you know, perhaps once in a generation opportunity is what I believe the budget director called it on Friday. And so there's going to be a lot of discussions, a lot of different interest groups looking at ways to, you know, maybe get additional funding through for their FET projects. But I think roads and schools are obviously going to be at the top of the pile. There's a lot of different opportunities and it's going to be a lot of factors at play.
Lauren Gibbons covers politics for MLive. We've also been talking with Sergio Martinez Beltran, Capitol reporter at Bridge, Michigan. Guys, it's great to hear from you. Hang in there.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.